This morning we continue our studies in the third epistle of John, and we're going to read the entire epistle again today, the third epistle of John, reading all 14 verses. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and bore witness to your truth, that is, how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers. And they bear witness to your love before the church. And you will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men that we may be fellow workers with the truth. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. And not satisfied with this, neither does he himself receive the brethren. And he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our witness is true. I had many things to write to you, but I am not willing to write them to you in pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. And there ends the reading this portion of God's holy word. Diotrephes, a name you shouldn't forget. In many Bible contests, we hear of many names that we're not really familiar with from the Scriptures, Bible quizzes, Bible competition. This is a name that few people remember. Diotrephes. Remember that name. We might call him the Hitler of the church. A tyrant among God's people. An egotist who thinks that God gave him the right to run the church. Mr. Boss Man. What a shame. What a sham. What dishonor he brought to the name of Christ. Diotrephes. It's not a name you'd want to name your children after. In his church, evidently, there was a power play. The monthly staff meeting was like trying to negotiate with Osama bin Laden. The monthly staff meeting in his church was so bad that nobody wanted to go. Two of the ladies had panic attacks before the meeting because they had to face him. That's the kind of church it was. Everybody came home bawling mad because Mr. Know-it-all thinks he knows how to run the church. And he's going to run it his way or die first. Diotrephes. Remember that name. If the people only knew what he is like. He thinks the church is the army and he is the staff sergeant. Have you ever been in a church like that? I hope not. I hope you never will be. But if you are at least 50 years old and been involved in at least probably two or three churches over your lifetime, you probably have. You've probably met some people who were like Diotrephes. Sometimes he's the preacher. Sometimes he's not. In Presbyterianism, which we believe to be a system taught in Scripture, we have rule by elders, plurality of elders. We do not believe one man should rule the church. That's where we get our name, from presbyter, elder. Our name comes from our system of government, not from our theology particularly of Calvinism or something like that. No one man should rule the church. Our session means the session of the elders as they meet as a body. Power is in the majority vote on the session. Our government is a republic in the Presbyterian Church. The United States government was patterned after Presbyterianism. Ruled by representatives who are elected by the people. Not one man, but a body of people are to rule the church. And they are to be elected and entrusted by the people themselves. And we believe this can prevent this problem with men like Diotrephes. But it's not a guarantee. Having been in the Presbyterian Church for, I guess, 54 years, I can tell you it's not a guarantee. No system is any better than the men who are in that system. Even in Presbyterianism, oftentimes there arises a man with a powerful personality, an over-generous view of himself, and an aversion to humility. Who may try to play Mr. Pope. I'm old enough to have seen it a number of times. I used to be stated clerk of our presbytery, working with 25, 30 churches. Over 30 years, I've seen a few cases. The Bible teaches that power comes through service. You want to be powerful, you serve. If you want to have influence in the church, be a servant. Tyrants teach that power comes by the exercise of authority. Diotrephes. Diotrephism. Ruled by a tyrant. And it will destroy a church. Now I want to ask a few questions about this man here this morning. And the first question I would ask is, how did this man ever get into the church? And we're talking about a man who John specifically tells us something about him. And let me read to you again something about him as we'll look at here later. Verse 9, I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does unjustly, accusing us with wicked words, and not satisfied with this, neither does he himself receive the brethren, and he forbids those who do so and puts them out of the church. That's the man we're dealing with here. How did he ever get into the church? How did he ever get into a leadership position? What happened to him? Did he have some type of disease? I mean, is it organic? What's wrong with this man? Doesn't the church have safeguards to protect herself from such men? And the answer to that is, well, we try, but we're not infallible. We try hard. To be admitted to the Presbyterian Church as a communicant member, you have to give a credible profession of faith. Not only a profession of faith, that you are a sinner whose only hope is in Christ, but it must be credible. It must be believable. There must be a lifestyle, at least a change of lifestyle, evidences of your profession that verify what you're saying. And upon such evidence, elders admit or refuse to admit, with lack of evidence, those who come to the church to be a part of the body of Christ. But only God knows the heart, and sometimes we are fooled. Some men give a good talk and appear to walk a good walk, but they are like Diotrephes. Wolves do dress up like sheep, and sometimes they even fool the elders of the church. But once they are in, their power-hungry, self-seeking glory takes over. Sometimes because of their overwhelming personality, their tenacity propels them into leadership positions. Sometimes simply because nobody else wants to do the job, they're the only one left. You know, that's how I got on many of the boards that I served on in years past. People think it's an honor to serve on these boards, and you know, they have 100 candidates, and you're the candidate out of 100. Actually, that's not the way it is. They have only one candidate. You're the only candidate. If you don't serve, then nobody else will. You see, it's the way it is sometimes. It's a service. It's not particularly an honor. It's a service. It's a sacrifice. Nobody else will do the job. How did you get that job, Larry? Nobody else would do it. That's how I got that job. And sometimes such men as Diotrephes rise to the top because nobody else is willing to do the job. And you know, he is strong, he's powerful, he's convicted. He's a leader. I mean, if he were in the army, he would be the general. We need leaders. And thus, before you know it, we have an Al Capone, number two, running the church. And it happens. It happens in churches all over America. Question number two is, what was Diotrephes really like? Well, verse 9 tells us, I wrote something to the church about Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them. The King James says, who loves the preeminence. He loves to be number one. He wants to be top dog. He wants to be noticed. He thinks the church is a corporation and he is the CEO. I mean, that's how he looks at the church. You know the type. He goes around singing, anything you can do, I can do better. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I can do anything better than you. That's who he is. I'm number one. He loves attention. He wants the first chair. He's better than everybody else. He's smarter than everybody else. God gave him wisdom. God gave the world wisdom. And Mr. Diotrephes got 90% of it. Ask him, he'll tell you. He's a demagogue. In his own mind, he is superior. He is paramount. He is unparalleled. He is matchless. He is incomparable. He is illustrious. And he's running our church. This guy's running our church. Amazing. I can't understand how he ever got in the church and how he got leadership position in the church. Well, the devil is at work. He has really been at work here. John says he loves to be first. He loves preeminence. He does not accept what we say. Verse 9. He has a problem with submitting to authority. And I've met people like that. Well, I don't care who. I don't care if it's the elders of the church. I don't care if it's presbytery. I don't care if it's general assembly. It doesn't matter to me. They're all wrong. They're all wrong. I'm right. They don't know what they're talking about. I know what I'm talking about. And I've never been wrong yet. He does not accept what we say. We, John, the apostles, I know more than what John knows. Yeah, John's an apostle, but look at me. I know more than John. I know more than Paul. And I come close to knowing as much as Jesus. I mean, this is the kind of man we're talking about. And he's the leader of our church. How did it ever happen? Verse 10. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. He has a broad vocabulary of expletives, a great inventory of malicious words, vindictive. He can spew out malevolent verbiage that would embarrass a cussing sailor. It's not enough to run everything and everybody, but he has to destroy everybody who gets in his way and who disagrees with him. His mouth is full of poison, retribution, reprisal, maybe even obscenities. And he's in the early church. And he's been running with the apostles. He knows the apostles. They know him. Oh, it can happen. If it can happen in the time of the apostles, it can happen today. Verse 10, he goes on. He says, you know, his mouth is a problem. His attitude is a problem. He does not submit to authority. He loves to be first in everything. He accuses us with wicked words. And not only satisfied with this, he says, verse 10, not satisfied with verbal degradation, that's not enough. It's not enough to be tearing people down all the time. He goes on and says, not satisfied with this. You see, this is not enough for him. It's not just words with him. Neither does he receive the brethren. Now, the brethren are defined for us in verse 5, 6, and 7. These are men who became proclaimers of the gospel, who traveled from city to city. That's what strangers are in the Bible. Strangers in the Bible is not just somebody who kind of appears on your doorstep, but he's a preacher typically. He's a Christian going from church to church. You don't really know him, but he's come to preach the gospel. These are men who gave up everything for the preaching of the gospel, verse 7, for they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. They won't even take a penny from anyone outside of the church. They went out for one reason, for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and to preach His name. And that's why John says we ought to support such men that we may be fellow workers with the truth. They need our support. They're not in it for the money, obviously. They're not in it for anything else but the glory of Christ. And they've given up everything to go from place to place to preach the Word of God. And they come into your city. They need a place to stay. And such men as Demetrius and Gaius gave them a place to stay. But here is Diotrephes who says, no. No. Verse 10. Neither does he himself receive the brethren. He does not himself participate in the charity of the church, in the support of those who preach the gospel. those poverty-stricken preachers in the New Testament, "There's no room in my house for you." How does man ever get in the church? I don't know. Not only that, but verse 10, he says, I mean, he even goes beyond that. And he forbids those who desire to do so. I mean, it's not enough for me to say, I'm not taking him into my house. I'm not giving a penny to this man. But let me tell you something. If you help him, you're on my hit list right now. If you help him, if I hear of anybody in this church giving money to this man, to these men, you're in trouble. I'm not doing anything for him. And let me tell you something. Here's the law right now. I lay down the law in this church. You better not support any of these men. He forbids those who do so. If I don't do it, nobody else does. The law of Diotrephes. He forbids God's people from being hospitable, from doing good works. And He's the head of our church. That's our preacher. Aren't you proud of your preacher? He forbids us from doing good deeds. That's why we don't like to go to staff meetings. That's why somebody said we need to get rid of this guy before he tears our church apart. Some people have said he did this because he was a Gnostic heretic, which John speaks to in 1 John and 2 John, and therefore he was really a part of that Antichrist that was in the church that didn't believe that Christ came in the flesh. He had a theological conflict with the church. But then finally, verse 10, of all, what else can you do to people? I mean, what else is there to do when you say, look, you're on my hit list. If you do this, you're in trouble. I'm out to get you. What else can you do to them? What is one other thing you can do? If you're in a power position in the church, you can put them out of the church. And that's what he did. Verse 10, the last portion there, and puts them out of the church. Excommunication. If you don't agree with me, here's your walking papers. You're fired. You don't agree with me? Wait till our next staff meeting. Ever seen a pink slip? You'll see one. Ever been unemployed? You'll see one. You know what it is to be unemployed. You ever know what it is to have the doors locked and say you can't come in? You know what it is, because Diotrephes says you can't come. And so you go looking for another church. Hopefully you will not find any more Diotrephes in any other churches. But you might. That's the sad part. You might, you know, you think you go, you leave one church, you go to another church, say, "Ah, we're getting away from that little Hitler." And you walk into another church, and sometimes you find, "Ah, here's another one." We hope that's not the case. In question number 3, what can we do about such people? What can we do about such people? I mean, it's amazing that he ever got into a leadership position. It's unbelievable, his attitude. Now, what can we do? Well, I think John gives us some indication, some clue in the tenth verse, where he says, "For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds," which he does. Now, he says it in a nice way. You know, it's not really particularly a threat, but you think about it. The apostle is coming to our church. And he says, "When I do, Diotrephes, look out." That's one thing that we will see
I think John writes and tells them in verse 11 how they are to respond initially. He says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good." Now, he says that in the context of verse 9 and 10. He says that in the context of don't be like Diotrephes. Don't fight with his weapons. Don't fight fire with fire. That's not the way you handle him. You don't handle him by becoming what he is. You handle him by being exactly not what he is. Do not imitate what is evil. Do not imitate him. Do not be like him. But do what is good regardless of what he does. And pray that John comes. Pray that John comes. I hope John comes. John was an apostle. This was before all the apostles died and the apostles had special authority. We don't have apostles today. We do have elders in the church who have replaced the apostles in terms of authority. But pray that John will come. If I were a member of this church, I would be praying every day. I'd probably be calling John on the phone and saying, "John, please, please come to our church. We've got a man that's got to go." And John says, "Well, let me tell you first thing, don't fight fire with fire. Don't live like him. Don't be like him. That's the worst thing you can do." And pray that John comes. Pray that the broader church will intervene. That those with higher authority will come in and see that this man is handled. When you have to appear before John face to face, we will see what happens to our little Pope. When you have to stand before the elders of the presbytery who have appointed a commission to handle you, we will see who wins. We'll see who wins. You can pick on the little sheep. You can throw your weight around. But when the elders of Presbytery come into this church to deal with you, these are men who know you. These are men with authority. These are men who are smart as you. When you have to face men your own size, intelligent, knowledgeable as you are, we will see who can run roughshod over us. We will see if you can do that and get away with it. I can say this because I have been involved in cases like this on a number of occasions where someone with great authority and power and knowledge ruled the church like a tyrant. Until the elders of the church came in. And basically said, "You got to go." Such men will be put into their place by the proper authorities and the overseers. And let us pray that God will give us those authorities and overseers. And let us pray that if Larry Ball ever becomes a Diotrephes, that the presbytery will come in and say, "Mr. Ball, you got to go. For the sake of these people, you've got to go. You will go." Ultimately, Christ is our only authority. He is not like a dictator. He is not one with malignant words on his mouth. He is not one to punish those who come to him in repentance and faith. He is not one to criticize you and your good deeds. Christ is a compassionate, merciful ruler. He is the example for us all. Diotrephes, remember that name. And may God keep us from the influence of such people. Let us pray. O Lord our God, it is amazing unto us the difficulties that can arise in Your church. And somehow, how men who are full of themselves can take positions of authority and power. O Lord, Your church is not perfect. But we pray, O God, that as we sometimes will see these things in the churches, that those with proper authority, those who are equal in position, will take the steps necessary to protect the sheep of God, to protect and promote the good works of God's people. O Lord, deliver us from such men as Diotrephes. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.